us pray. Loving God, you call us to this journey. You call us to enter into the story of your people that stretches back through all time. Remind us that our journey of faith is walked with and through this community. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who walks with us. Amen.
Today's Old Testament lesson is Exodus 13, 17 through 22. You may follow along on page 60 of your pew Bible. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness, through the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of the land of Egypt, prepared for battle. And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they can travel by day and by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The word of the Lord. In our first scripture lesson today, we learn that the Israelites are on the run. The first Passover has just occurred, and Moses is leading God's people out of enslavement under the Egyptian Pharaoh. Looking at the scripture, the feelings of panic, exhaustion, and desperation are quite evident. The Israelite people know that this is their time to escape the life of slavery, and they need to get out. Leaving the only home they have ever known and being on the run from a tyrant Pharaoh must have led them to panic or to possibly rethink their decision. But that is where God's presence met them. God physically appeared to them, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, leading his people to safety. There was not one moment where God seemed to want to give up or abandon them. His unending love led them out of oppression. This extraordinary image of God appearing as a beacon of hope in this form of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night is an amazing example of God's very presence among them. I can't say that I've seen such a cloud in my life, and I may be so bold as to say I doubt you guys have either, but I know that God is present, so why do we think his faithfulness has changed? I believe that I have started my journey to become who I truly am, yet the hardest part is still in front of me. Just like the Israelites left their land along with the security of knowing what would happen day in and day out, I too am leaving my home with only faith to guide me. There are so many unknowns and changes of plans that the only one to really know where I will end up is God. It's hard for me, as I know it is for you, to fully let go and trust that God will watch over us, but I know he is there. A sense of security is important to thrive, but now my sense of security is changing. I can no longer answer where I will be in 5 to 10 years, but I have faith that God can. Everyone experiences insecurities or uncertainties in life. Each one of us experiences similar doubts, just at different times in our lives. Each one of you sitting out there is moving through your own personal journey, moving forward with a step of uncertainty every day. But what unites us in these fears is that they are each met by God, who loves us and takes care of our every need. Every individual has or will have to make a decision about school or choosing a workplace, deciding when the right time to raise a family will be, and figuring out what time to retire. But ultimately, God has a plan. He just leaves us to take the leap of faith. Unlike the Bible verse, God is not here as a cloud guiding our every moves. I mean, imagine how easy that would be. There would be no doubts whatsoever because he would literally be leading you exactly where you're meant to be. Of course, that's not the case. Even though he is not physically there, I know he is there in spirit because I need him to be. Believing that God is watching over you by day or by night is somewhat liberating. Having the comforting fact that he will accompany us on our own personal journeys makes all of the tough experiences a little easier to bear. For me, I know that God is present through the actions of the church congregation. Through Steve and Tanya Cavanaugh being present every week in Sunday school, ready to lend an open ear and to tackle the most difficult questions life throws our way, not to mention a hashtag to match. With Elaine Patterson, the one who personally led me on my own journey of faith through confirmation, and with Courtney Stevens, who helped me write this sermon when I was doubting myself and my message. There are so many members that have shown me God's presence through their actions, faithfulness, and love, but my allotted 5 minutes is not enough time to acknowledge everyone. The body gathered here is a pillar of God's presence. God has blessed me with you guys, a community that has raised me, embraced me, and loved me every step of my journey. I am so grateful that you are here to continue to walk beside me as I go on my own personal excursion. No matter what happens, God is always there. He is the journey. Amen.
Our psalm lesson today comes from Psalm 25, verses 1 through 12, which can be found on page 502 of your pew Bible if you wish to follow along. Hear now the word of the Lord. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right, and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and forgiveness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who are they that fear the Lord? He will teach them the way that they should choose. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. How many of you have one of these? This is a truly amazing device. It can surf the internet, answer emails. It can even get directions for you. All you have to do is say, Siri, get me directions to school, or take me home. And next thing you know, it has planned the best route from wherever you are to your required destination. I wonder. Siri, get me directions to faithfulness.
I could not find any places matching faithfulness.
It seems that some journeys are not so simple. When I was in 10th grade, I needed another half-credit class, so I took Bible history. It was a really easy class, but at the same time, it was one of the hardest classes I've ever taken in my life. The first day when we walked in the door, I sat down, and within 10 minutes, my brain was dragged kicking and screaming on a journey. Forced to look at biblical history from a scientific point of view, I struggled with some of the concepts that I have never had to come face to face with before. We all have these moments, times when we come across something that forces us to put on the brakes and take a step back. These are our internal journeys. Journeys on our own road of spirituality that we cannot easily reconcile with. They're not easy journeys to make. Often, we have no idea if we're going the right way. But no matter where we are in our journey, we have God. Like our own internal GPS, through faith and trust, he guides each one of us on these journeys. But this guidance does not always come immediately. David's second line in this psalm reads, "Oh my God, in you I trust." Sometimes we have to wait with faith. This guidance isn't straightforward either. We wish our internal journeys were like a 10-mile stretch of I-40 out in the Midwest, clear and straight on down the road. Instead, we often find that our journeys are more like pulling up to 5 points from Stratford Road at rush hour. It's not short-lived, and it's not easy. But with trust, God will get us through. However, there is a small catch. We're human. We have free will. One time, driving back home from downtown Winston-Salem, I saw my exit, but I looked down it and thought, that can't be right, home's the other way. So I continued straight. 15 miles later down Highway 52, I realized that might not have been the best idea. Even though I had a guide, I thought I knew a better way. The same thing happens on our internal journeys. Despite the fact that God is pointing us in the right direction, guiding us down these difficult paths of struggle, we have free will and we think we know a better way. It's not rebellion, we just think we know. But we don't. We don't always make the right choice. However, despite our error, we are not lost. God's steadfast love and unlimited forgiveness are our salvation on this journey, meaning that he will not abandon us no matter what. Staring down the road at the rest of his life, after everything he's been through, David cries out, "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. For you I wait all day long." Trusting in the Lord our God, he gives us guidance, even when we make a wrong turn. These journeys are not always easy, but they are checkpoints on our path of spirituality, and with God, with that internal GPS, we are never alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Our New Testament lesson comes from Luke chapter 24, verses 13 through 31. Let us now listen for the word of God. "Now on that same day, two of them were walking to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, 'What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?' They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?' he asked them. 'What things?' they replied. 'The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who had said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight." The word of the Lord.
As many of you know, I've been the illustration in my dad's sermons many times, usually for something embarrassing I've done. This is my chance for payback. Actually, one sermon really isn't enough. Highland has been my home for almost 8 years, and it has been a wonderful community to grow in my faith. But I need to tell you something. I did not want to move to North Carolina. Being born and growing up in South Carolina was all I had ever known. I didn't want to leave the place I was born, the people who had raised me, and the place I called home for the first 10 years of my life. Moving is a traumatic experience. It's more than just the hassle of relocating your closet. Moving is change and giving up and compromising. But most of us do it at some point in our lives. It's a journey from home to new home. I now know that everyone here is wonderful and nice, but at the time, let's just say I was less than thrilled. But no matter how upset I was able to find comfort in knowing that Jesus was going with me. In this text, we see that Jesus encounters these two men on the road to Emmaus, walking along and joins with them. They don't even realize it's Jesus, but they still invite him to stay. And when Jesus breaks bread, their eyes are finally opened, and they realize exactly who he is. And then he vanished from their sight. And 10-year-old me screamed, "He left? Are you kidding me? Jesus, of all people, left his disciples?" Needless to say, I was distraught. Until 17-year-old me realized that Jesus didn't actually leave them. He might not have been right in front of their faces, but he was still with them. Journeys give us the opportunity to see things differently, to experience new things, and to explore the possibilities. We may not always be aware of it, but Jesus goes with us. We know from Luke that this disappearance wasn't the end of Jesus. He appeared to the disciples again in the very next verses before his ascension. However, his disappearance was a shocking account of these followers actually seeing Jesus. In senior high Sunday school, we too try to be witnesses to accounts of God and Jesus in our daily lives. We call these glimpses of God, and every week at the end of Sunday school, we go around the room and share our glimpses for the week. Glimpses are different from week to week and person to person. For some, it may be doing well on a test. For others, it may be getting into the college of their choice. Before anybody can ask, no, I have not decided which Carolina I'm going to next year. But for others still, it's seeing friends and family members making it through hard times. It's a way for us to actively look for God in the simplest of things. The eyes of these travelers were opened when Jesus broke bread in front of them. And we too are travelers on this journey. As we journey on in our lives of faith, we grow and wonder and we see glimpses of God. And we are witnesses to the amazing things God is doing. We gather here in this place to worship and share in the ways we are witnesses to God's moving in the world. We journey together to this table to meet Jesus, keeping our eyes open to see the breaking of the bread and the pouring out of the juice, just like the disciples, just like the men on the road, and just like our brothers and sisters have journeyed for generations. The table is a gift that comes from keeping our eyes open and being attentive. To live a life of faith is to watch for what God is doing. We're given a constant companionship with Christ. It may not always be obvious, and sometimes we really have to look for it, but through the act of communion, we have a reminder of God's active presence in our lives. Amen.